timeframes for the project. I thank you, Chair.
Member Mdumbi, earlier on I noted you, seeing that Member Marie is not here at the moment, we are dealing with part B. Do you have any question? Okay. I'll hand over to the report. Do you have? Yes, sir.
Say official legends in terms of well-known legends in rugby, soccer, and those. Or is it also there are people in my in many townships that I know were very good soccer players, but they never got to have that opportunity to be playing for national teams and those. Are there maybe any plans to even begin to recognize those as well? They might have not had an opportunity to play in either rugby, soccer, cricket, or so, but they are well known in the community for having been good in those. Then on the last question, Chairperson, page 85, on major events, says during 2018-19, 74 major events were hosted in the Western Cape, including the Cape Town Cycle Tour, Upside Peak, Nelson Mandela, Freedom Race. But I don't seem to see the events of the most popular sports in the majority of areas. For example, in African and colored areas. Like, you know, rugby will be very good, very popular sport. So therefore, we need to have a major event in the colored community. If you go to African community, you'll see soccer will be a well-known sport, very popular sport, but we seem not to be having major or big events on those sports where most of the majority of the people are actually involving. We seem to be, look, cycling tour, you will say that it's a non-racial sport, but it's very elitist. in nature as well. And but if you talk about rugby and soccer, that's where you will get the majority of people. If maybe the department, if they are not there, also start considering having calendars of events of those major sports that we know that are played in the majority of communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the questions and input. Over to this one.
Okay, so we'll answer the questions as best we can, but maybe just to begin first with the language issue and to say that in the decade that we have appeared in front of these committees, we get caught between some committees who tell us print it and then others say, why are you spending so much money on it? So what we decided to do is to provide it in a format that didn't cost us as much as printing would. So the economy, we've given a disk which is there, is available. And probably going forward, that's probably what people do too, because it's a more cost-effective option that is available. But let me ally myself with your comments and support completely. I did in fact say that when you were outside of the room earlier, that language can unite or divide, and that our thing is to bring people together. So let me support that comment. I'm going to ask London if he could perhaps just talk to sport legends and major events, but maybe just to preface it by saying that with the major events, it comes down to which associations apply for funding in relation to the major events. And some of these bigger cultural sports, they have massive sponsors that they get in. Doesn't mean to say we're not doing soccer. We may be doing it in the club development program or other programs, but maybe not at the major event level, because perhaps in some of these big events, they do actually have sponsors. But I'm going to leave London were able to answer that, and then there was a question on heritage, Mukadisi, if you could answer that, and then between you and Guy and Jane to answer about youth, a question on youth drama, Jane, and then a question on Dennis Goldberg, Guy would. So, Nana, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. So, I will start off with the major events question from Mbubambi, and Tabo Tutu will do the sport agents one. So, the first is to our application process is open from 1 April until 30 September in the preceding financial year. So this allows all sport federations to then apply for funding for events that will be happening in the following financial year. The events is all sporting clubs is allowed to apply. So whether you are Western Province surfing or whether you eat in aquatics, everyone can then apply. The events are largely held at the facilities that would enable that event to take place. So if one looks at the open boxing tournament that took place in Mossel Bay in Conakwaba, then if we look at some of the other events that has happened, it all depends where that federation decides for the event to be held. Sometimes if you need a big hall, it depends on what floor is utilized. So the Western Cape Sports School would be used for netball matches because the flooring allows for that. So it is dependent upon the federation, and from our side, we do get involved with some of the big federations. The rugby, we normally provide the emergency medical services for the sevens each year that takes place, and then there are many codes of sport across the Western Cape. So of the 74 codes, half of them would be in the Cape Metro, and the other half would be spread around all the areas as well. So from our side, every code that applies has that opportunity, and we would then be able to assess whether it falls within the definition of major events. Thank you very much. Mr. Tutu will answer that later.
Thank you, sir. In terms of the sport legends, this program started in 2005. So on an annual basis, we have been recognizing and rewarding people that have made contribution to sport, including the people that you're talking about in the townships. So this is a sport federation driven initiative. We as a department, we enable and facilitate, and then the federations implement. So there's an application process that we go through where we send nomination forms to all federations, and then they would nominate. Let me give you an example. In rugby, in 1 year, we sent out a nomination form to rugby. One nomen biko was
So it's we get feedback from the federations, and then they would tell us this is the person they'd like to nominate. That's how the process is. Thank you.
The point, MPS was the COI language, official language.
We still have 2 minutes for this round. You can ask.
Program with the actors. The other which operates in the field of drama. And some of that organization that immediately come to mind is your George Society for the Arts, and we work closely with them. We also fund Kaka and Ka through the Kunst und Papier program, the Baxter Theater, which also focus on drama, and then Magnet Theater, which focus on drama. And Magnet Theater, again, brings the University of the Western Cape students that study in drama with the community youth which is interested in drama, and they bring them together. So the drama program is really seen on various levels in terms of development.
I would be addressing a question on the River Club. The National Heritage Resources Act, Act number 25 of 1999, creates two layers of protection. One is the general protection, and secondly is the formal protection. And the reason why I'm making this clear is to try to create certainty that F-15183, popularly known as the River Club, is protected. And it was protected in terms of the general protection. But what Heritage Western Cape did then, from March 2018, it was formally protected. So currently there are two layers of protection that are there. So the site in question is protected.
Thank you to the department. I now note Member Marie. We will strictly keep the time between the engagement between yourself and the department, and then we will close part B. So over to you, sir.
I have two small options. Ali, when the person made a dissertation in account to English, I switched to English.
Your mind, sir.
I'm very fascinated by what I've heard, and I think it's encouraging. But we must, I like to see action on specifics and a report back on the level of success on specific projects. Instead of just talking blanket fashion, generalization. So now, when you say on page 31, that we facilitate the process of standardized change necessary with geographical names. There was a huge support, and I was part of that protest at the DF Milan Airport, that we want the airport in the Western Cape renamed Cretoa International. Because Cretoa has a great connection with the Western Cape. Ze was de eerste grote Afrikaans gepraat. Ze was de eerste gemengde huwelijke wat gebeurde die ambtelijk. Zij was een kooi slavin. Zij is de moeder van die breinvolk, van Hakenus was breinkenus van een wit man en een breinvrouw en een kooi vrouw. Eerste ene. En dan ben zij, is de eerste een wat van Hollands gemaakt en komt buis Hollands. En naderhand te woord kom buis Hollands dan daar Afrikaans. So, sy het een connectie, sy lyk om ene te hoor of die hulle enige navorsing doen oor die moontlikheid en aanbevelings maak dat die lughawe Kaapstad genoem mag word Cretoa International Airport. Dit sal ons mense se trots terugbring. Die tweede punt wat ek wil aansluit is the Storytelling Project. On page 63, Storytelling Project saw the participation of 47 senior citizens who narrated stories. Brilliant idea. Die Breinmanse kultuur was genietig. Hy het die stories om te vertel, is dit hoekom sy kinders so verdeeld is. Een volk moet stories hê. Nou, jy luk van professor Jackie Breinkamp, Julle professor Willem Boesak, Julle het baie ander mense hierop wat ons kan oproep en sê, soos Aaron Wesselaar van die Griekwaard, Roy Lees, en daar is nog baie ander koning, koninghoofdmanne, wat stories kan vertel omtrent die geschiedenis van ons mense. My mense, gaan ons dit ook gebruik? Kan ons, hulle moet die stories hoor, waarvanaf kom hulle? Wie was Doman? Wie was die Lefleurs? Wie was Krautoa gewees? Waarvanaf staan ons? Moet het so kom dat waar ons nou Kaapse Kleveland genoem word? Hy stories al ons hoor. Daar is een film uit van Krautoa se lewe. As jy bereid om, om dit ook beskikbaar te laat maak aan skole, en hulle ten minste weet hoe dit ontstaan, laat daar iemand as jou brein mens. Want jy kree wit mens en jy kree zwart mens en ons is gelukkig daarmee, maar so gauw jy sê jy is brein en sê dat jy is racist. Nee, ek is brein. En ek wil een brein story hoor, maar graag jy een woord daarom trek. Laaste plek, kan ons net daar binnen huis promoveer, en ek dink die minister het reeds in parlement gesê, sy praat saam met die municipaliteite oor die gebruik van municipale sale. Mense gaan nie meer concerts doen in gemeenskapsale, nie, hulle kyk TV. En na die municipale sale staan leeg heel dag. En na. Maar daar is five-a-side soccer developing. And they play it often in our township, five-a-side. It's quick running soccer. They only need a pitch as big as a municipal hall. Netball practicing, women don't want to play netball outside because of the violence that's now occurring in the townships. They don't want, some of them work, they come from work and they're going to play outside in the cold. But they can practice netball inside municipal halls. If only you can get the municipality of Cape Town and other municipalities to agree to utilize these municipal halls for indoor netball and indoor five-a-side soccer. I want to know if you'll be prepared to help in that respect. Thank you.
So maybe just to start with the last thing, obviously we can always look at how we can expand our footprint in relation to netball. I think that's probably a good idea. Of course, the municipalities, there are two things. Municipalities, just in terms of what they will allow inside their walls, we need to look at that. Second thing also is when probably have to have a modified version of the game because netball has very strict regulations in their own sport about size, all these other things that, you know, I'm not an expert in that. But I think that is something the department can look at it. I think that is a good idea. And maybe just to say on page 63, remember where we spoke about the stories. We take into account the comments that you have made. There are obviously historians that can add texture to the things that that we do. And we do rely on some of those people that you mentioned. You know, it's for certain things. But that specific reference was to people telling their own stories about their own lives and their own history and sharing that with community. So that their own grandchildren and their own, let's just say, people who descended from them can actually see that in print. This is actually where you come from just recently. So I think that just to perhaps to say that, that reference there was in relation to that. But I think the other comments that you made in relation to the experts that they are inside the field. We do work with some of them already, and obviously we can take that into account. Chair, if I could ask, or Mokolisi, if you could just deal with the naming issue, please. Thank you.
Yeah, the question of the renaming of Cape Town International Airport, we know it was a very volatile matter. But this department has Western Cape Geographical Names Committee, which advises the minister on geographical name changes and standardization. So the airport is a property of the National Department of Transport. So when we heard that there was this in the process, we contacted them, we requested that they submit a nomination, because even if it is a national entity, but the committee, the provincial committee has jurisdiction because it happens here in this province. So an application was submitted, and we requested them to conduct public participation. They have never come back to us. But we know that there was a public participation which, in a lack of a better word, descended into chaos at the airport. But after that, there has never been a response to us about what has happened. I also want to clarify this. The committee cannot spearhead the process because it cannot be a judge and a player at the same time, because it has to ensure that due processes are followed. So we're waiting for the owners or communities to come back with regards to that public participation that we requested. Thank you.
Members, with your indulgence, we will close for B at this stage, and we will directly table part D, because part C and E will be dealt with in Stomba, pages 146 to 179. Pages 146 to 179. I am aware of the time as we have to end this as well, but can I get an idea of who would like to pose questions specifically with regard to the page numbers? I have allowed that we engage during part A and B, but we need to be strict in moving forward. So I see Member Keko first. Member Barnes, Member Kama, and Member Bota. Member Windvogel. Do I not you, Member Marie? Thank you. Members, based on the time, location, and that we have three entities still, between the engagement with yourself and the department, I will allow 4 minutes. So any questions can be posed, I would suggest any questions can be posed within a 1 minute to 2 minute timeline, and then we can have that back and forth engagement. Member Keko, I see you.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is on page 160. There I note that under the table 3.5.2, that in the Human Resource Department there is not even a single person with disabilities that is being hired by the department. And then, starting from the top management, I just want to understand as far as to the issue of disability, what is the stand of the department as far as that is concerned. And then, yes, and then on page, reading page 159, in collaboration with page 163, on the issue of employment equity. On page 159, you will note that the table is regarding that there is one woman that has been hired there in a position of a senior manager. But if you go now to page 163, the very same woman has left, is indicated as a vacant. Now I just need clarity in that regard, what is going on there. And then if you check, it's an African woman that is there. Has the African woman, if the process has been finalized, has that person been replaced by another? Because you, in terms of balancing your own equity targets. And then in the very same page, 163, table 3.5.6, there are disciplinary cases that are there that are mentioned that they were taken disciplinary actions. But if I can just get a clarity as to the seriousness of those cases and what were the outcomes. And then on page 170, there under the incapacity leave, there is a total of 16 at the high skilled production level 6 to 8. 16 people that have taken incapacity leave. Now what I want to understand is that Did that department investigate why these employees have got such kind of seriousness? Because in the paragraph or in the note under the table, it states that the employer must conduct an investigation into the nature and the extent of employees' incapacity. Did the department do something, and what were the interventions that were made there? Then lastly, on page 175, paragraph table 3.12.3, there is the type of misconduct found here, there is very serious in all those categories. The number is very low. If you check, it's 4 of them. But what we want now to understand is that how did the department deal with these matters, especially the ones involving substance, assault, and the wrongful use of possesses of the state property. If we can get clarity in that regard. Thanks very much.
Those questions were a lot of questions I'm trying to deal with. With them. Maybe just go to the first table, page 163, table 356. Maybe first start with page 160, which is the table on the vacancies, the disability. Maybe just to first say that there's the department looks at, in terms of the disability, there'd be a target. I think it's 2%, 2% target, and we have met that target. So we haven't delineated it in relation to, let's just say, senior managers. We haven't done that, but we've met the target of 2%. I think the other challenge at the senior level is top management is only one person, it's me. So, you know, it's only about this stage. And then senior management is the rest of the staff here, we're 12, and basically our team is full. Now, on the question of African female leaving and then returning, it's two different people. So, we had an African female in the year under review who left the department, went to another job. And then when we employed again, we employed another African. I think that gives that clarity. And on page 163, there was a question on table 356. Sean, if you can just prepare between you and Premier Department, can maybe just answer that, page 166. And then on page, so that would go for page 163, okay? And then on the question on incapacity leave, maybe I just want to say, you mentioned 16, but the total category for number of employees in that, it is 300 people. So it's, you never want to say it's a low number, but it's a small number. But I just wanted to indicate that there's a robust process that is followed in relation to incapacity leave. That you only go up incapacity leave once a person has used all their sick leave over 3 year cycle, once they've used all their vacation leave, and now the doctors and so on will have to put in some motivation to be able to decide whether we should grant incapacity leave or not. It also then goes to the health risk manager, independent of us, that will make a recommendation to me as the head of the department, say, oh, this person said it's had a spine operation, the expected recovery time is 2 months, and this person wanted 3 months, therefore we think you can give 2 months, you should give 2 months incapacity, but don't give the extra. These are issues which are continuous. They happen in departments all the time. Obviously, in general, we follow the advice of the health risk manager because they be sitting with medical experts on their panels for us to be able to decide. So I don't know if that helps, but so that's on page 170. Go to page 175. And just also a question in terms of the misconduct which all of us, the previous people, and Sean can perhaps deal with that. So may I hand it over to
Secretary, so the first question on the disability, so on that, the table that you were referring to is actually the 12 people that is people with disability working within the department, and that compromised 2%, which is the target set for all departments. The next one was the one on the sanctions. So both questions you asked regarding that is actually explained in table 3.12.2,
and 3.2.3, where we actually indicate what sanctions were given for each of these. So all of those information is there.
3.2 and 3.2. 174. 174. So basically, just to clarify, outcome was suspension without salary and a final written warning, and then the other one was abscondment, desertion for the three cases.
Member Bates.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on page 147, departmental workforce planning, paragraph 2, the last sentence. The following priorities and key activities that were identified. Could the department please give an overview as to which priorities the department has started to implement, and for those ones that are posing a challenge, what are they? My second question is on page 154, table 3.2.3, employment and vacancies by critical occupation. One, are the numbers of heritage officers and language practitioners enough to meet the demand? Two, why were vacancies not filled, and what's the latest update to those that have not been filled as yet? Question number three. I'm on page 170, table 3.10.2. What are the reasons for the high number of incapacity leave? I think Member Kregel has asked that. I wanted to align myself with Member Kregel. But following that, page 175, 3.12.3. For each of these four cases, could you give accounts of what really happened? For example, what property of the state was wrongfully used? My last question, on the same page, on page 175, table 3.12.5. What were the disputes about? I know that there were disputes. Please give details of the ones that were upheld. I thank you, Jay.
Over to the department.
I'm not sure what that noise is outside, Jay, but let us continue. Sean, do you want to speak about the
okay. So, regards to the incapacity, I think it's important to note that the year that we were reporting on was the third year of the cycle that's allocated to sick leave. So normally sick leave is allocated in a 3-year cycle. That was the last year, which obviously at the end of that particular year, most people would have exhausted their sick leave. But as HRD has indicated, it's a process where there's a thorough investigation into it, and experts look at the causes and the reasons for people taking incapacity leave, and then obviously recommends to him whether it should be approved or not. So it's medical experts that make that recommendation, but I think the reason why the number is high is the fact that it was the last year of the cycle, and obviously there's 36 days in the cycle, people exceeded that 36 days and then went over to incapacity.
Question about the critical occupations in relation to the vacancies, heritage. Sorry, do you want to answer?
Chair, the question around language, are there the number of language practitioners enough to meet the demand? As it stands, no. We have two vacancies in the Xhosa language, and
Department, and adult member Kama.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I just have two questions. One is on page 164, table 3.5.7. I just want to get an understanding, Chair, in terms of this skills development. Whether is there any assessment that is done or before people are sent for training in terms of the need for that skill that the person is going to get or shortage thereof? Or is just a matter of, I think the question is to get a detail of how this works. Or is it just a matter of me saying I want to do this and whatnot, and then I get sent to a training? The second question I have, Chair, is on page 175, table 3.12.4 on the grievances lodged. And I think at the bottom of that table, the note there refers to the grievances that are lodged as, that it refers to cases that were finalized within the reporting period. Can we get an indication of those that were not finalized? Because I want to get a picture. All these that were finalized are all the grievances that were raised. Because it does not feature, if you get what I'm trying to arrive at. Yes, I see those resolved and those not resolved as it relates to whether the outcomes were in favor or not of the agreement. But I want to get a sense as to, are we seeing the 11, because the 11 that is here, grievances lodged. Are we saying the 11, it means that there are 11 grievances that we got under the period, because the note at the bottom of the table says grievances lodged refers to those that the cases that were finalized. Thanks, Chair.
Over to you, Chair.
Yes, so yeah, I've noted, man, that there are members of the public here, but they do not have the report with them. I'm worried in a situation whereby they will be granted an opportunity to pose questions. They will not have an idea of what the report looks like. Here, this side.
Thank you. We'll distribute. If those indicating that would like one copy, we will distribute a copy. There will be an opportunity where we will open up this to a public hearing, and then engagement will take further. So if you can indicate to Mary Ann Burgess, our assistant. I see 1, 2, 3 hands. 4, 5. Thank you. Over to the department.
Thank you for the question. So basically, in terms of the grievances, the indication there is that although some of the grievances have not been resolved, it doesn't mean that it hasn't been finalized. It's been finalized, but it's just the result didn't go in favor of the people that put the grievances. In terms of the names of the people that that had these grievances, we can provide a list for all of those if required. In terms of training, so at the beginning of the year, each employee is required to sign a performance agreement and also sit with the supervisor and identify training gaps that is then addressed during the year. So I also just want to add that sometimes we don't necessarily limit training only to the area of the person that's working, because we also want to develop people for the public service, for the broader public service. So we would also look at other training that could enhance their skills so that they can actually compete in the market to improve their career. So it's twofold, basically.
I see Member Botha.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm also on pages 169 and 170. And I just want to go back to the response now from the department to give a list of the names of, I just want to ask that we don't get the names, we get the pattern, but not necessarily the names of those staff members, please. Then I'm on the sick leave and on the incapacity leave. Now I want to know the patterns of sick leave, and I have categorized it as I did before with other departments too. And I want to know the sick leave taken, and my patterns are the payday sick leave, the day after payday sick leave, and the Monday or the Friday sick leave. And then I want to know, in terms of the incapacity leave, how many, if any, of this incapacity leave is related to excessive use of alcohol or substance? Thank you, Chair.
So, Chair, those are tough questions for us to be able to respond to in 1 minute. We'll have to dig into the data to be able to provide that. But I think we've recorded it, end of month leave and weekend leave. So we'll give an answer in writing. And then in relation to the incapacity leave, we're not able to say offhand how many cases are related to alcohol. But I just want to say that on the incapacity leave, generally there are serious matters, personal operation, and a car accident or whatever. Genuine serious matters are, I'd be surprised if there'd be any incapacity leave in relation specifically to alcohol, but we'll go ahead and see whether it'll come back.
Okay. We will know that. Thank you.
I please now inform us for
11. I have one name remaining, and that is Member Windvogel, and then we will close chapter D, and we will open up to the public, but then I will direct further. We will then go.
Table 3.55, senior management, please give details for the termination and what happened. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Over to the department.
discipline or alternatively a disciplinary action. Are there any cases of employees that were subjected to either a developmental plan or disciplinary action? That's the 150 page. Page 150.
So with regards to staff who don't perform as required, generally it's we will then draw up a development plan for them for the next year. We will focus on the key functions or the areas that they are underperforming, and depending on what's required, whether it's training, whether it's mentoring, we will then assist them. We will then sign the agreement, and that would be part of the individual development plan that we would set for them for the next year. We haven't had people that have not performed due to misconduct or anything else. It's purely because of maybe they need skills for training or whatever is required, and we would assist them. It would be identified and we would agree on the next performance assessment year, and obviously they would have that period to get up to speed with what's required. So generally, each directorate would have the plan of their own. At the moment, you don't get a lot of people that rotate up in the public service due to lack of available posts within, generally in the Western Cape, and that's obviously contributed to the fact that budgets have been cut. And the people that have retired are people that are there probably for 20, 30 years, specifically in the library services. They would be at ages 60 to 65. And there are generally staff younger that would be able to take up the opportunity. It's also important to note that you have to be careful how you provide the market for the levels below, because you don't want to create a sense of nepotism when you advertise a post, but you must make sure that there's a market that could step up into the post. The posts are then advertised and everyone is obviously free to apply. And then the person, the most meritorious person, obviously get the post, but there is a sense of staff at the lower levels who will be able to step up. We also provide bursary to all of our staff who apply, especially first-time bursars. If they haven't, they've only got matric, they almost have automatic approval to study further, a national diploma or degree, and it's all geared to make sure that our staff are able to step up to the next level if required.
Thank you to the department members. As stated earlier on, we have parliamentary privileges, as well as later when we conclude our business, we set in the resolutions that we are able to take. Members, we will now open this to a full-scale public hearing. I've not as yet allocated a time, because we have received no written submissions with regard to who would. Only one submission has been received, but no indication that the person would like to make an oral submission. So what I'm going to do now is that if I can get an understanding, if there's any person or groups of people that would like to give input or ask specific questions with regard to the annual report under discussion, can I get an indication? I see one hand. So we will allocate the next, I see two hands. So we will allocate the next 10 minutes, because we have three entities to go through. If the gentleman at the back, if you can make your way to a seat with a mic, sir.
Thank you, Mr.
And if you are able to introduce yourself for the record.
May I start?
Mr. Mbeki, you will go second, sir. If you can introduce yourself, the name for the record, and pose a question specifically to the annual report or any input or comments, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Nilando Lundi from the Nilando Board of Transport. Yes, I want to ask a question in regard to page 10 of the document I'm going to use. It's in paragraph 3.
Sir, if you could just put your mic on and speak into the mic.
It's not working.
It's not working.
If you can speak into the mic, sir.
Yeah, it's working, sir. That one is not working. Yeah, my name is Imlandi Mbiko. I'm from the Young Town in Boston. Yes, I'm talking in regard to page 10, paragraph 3, where it reads role of society approach in the four piloted areas. I'm particularly perturbed, Mr. Chair, because this approach is, I've asked the same question in the Department of Community Safety. My area, Nyanga, is the crime capital of the Western Cape, starting from 2012, according to the statistics of the Community Safety at the Institute of Security Studies. What is the department doing in regard to that? Then you go to page 32, the last paragraph. In museum, in Nyanga, there's a dilapidated stadium, rugby cricket stadium. We are in the process of converting that clubhouse in that stadium into a sports museum. Mr. Tutu knows that there are many prominent sports people who reside in Nyanga. We're in the process of recording all that information, but we don't have a space. So we have identified that clubhouse to be that sports museum, but we don't know what few processes we ought to follow. And we are also in the process of linking the heritage sites that we have identified, which are 18, to the existing heritage sites like the Trojan Horse, and where they will be exhibited in the collaboration with the District 62 as well. And then you go to page 63, paragraph 2. I want to thank the government in regard to the formation of the initiation committee in our area. But the problem is, one, we've got a problem by the communities who live in the proximity of those heritage sites. They invade those sites. We would like the department in the city of Cape Town to ensure that these sites are not invaded by the communities that invade land. And the last one, go to page 88. I think it's the last one I've two as well. Mod centers. The MOD center in Nyanga is working, but we have programs in Nyanga that are not facilitating the MOD center. We've got tech rugby is one of the best sports, which is integrating. It's integrating both women and men that can play in the same match. We want that sport to be recognized by the department. And I would like Mr. Chair. Yes, I've finished with this document. I'd like Mr. Chair to please, I've been trying to contact the department through Mr. Jonas Auer, something of that nature, but I cannot. If we can organize a meeting between the department and the Nyanga Tourism Platform, because there are many issues that we want to discuss, which are the content of the document I've submitted to you. And I'd be pleased if we can also forward those documents personally to the head of to the MEC. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mbiko. Your last input, the department is one that will be able to answer in that regard. So over to the department.
Okay, so we're going to try and answer the questions. So just in relation to a meeting that we will just hold it up. There's no interesting issue. We'll have a discussion now. Just at the lunch break, maybe we can just do it. And then just to say on the WOZA, these are just pilot areas, and you may have not been here this morning when I did explain about the pilot areas, but it is about the fact that the community wants to see integrated services, and the idea behind this was to pilot in these areas. If we were to give integrated services, what does this mean? So if all the departments come together and give these integrated services, that was the idea of the pilot. I just wanted to explain that. Except that certainly in the younger, we have many issues as you have raised. So I just wanted to mention that thing about war.
question on initiation guy and heritage site. Can you see between you guys answer that? And then Martin Dirk Paul, if you could answer that, I think we've got that questions. Okay. Dago, can you stop?
Thank you, HOT. In terms of Nyanga, I have personally had engagements with sport people in Nyanga. I'm in constant, in fact, I'm in a WhatsApp group with the president of the Nyanga Sport Council in the Nomen Biko group that we created. And about 2 months ago, on a Sunday, I went to attend a meeting with a Legends group in Nyanga, where they requested the department to help them. And I then requested them to provide me with documentation, and I'm still waiting for that. On Sundays, Chair, we have a walk in Nyanga, which is organized by some group in Nyanga. 2 Sundays ago, because we converge at Nyanga Stadium, I was approached again and asked them, where's the documentation that I require from you? Having said that, Che, I was never sensitized about the museum issue. The museum people here, we can engage with the Nyanga people. But also, Chair, we've got a social inclusion program that we have that is run by Sandile Nomchila in Nyanga. He is also linking up with the North Centre as well. So there are some programs that we engage with the Nyanga.
Thank you, Chair. I suggest that we engage with Mr. Biko so that we can explain to him and also assist him to establish the museum that he wants to.
Mr. Biko, via the HOD and the department, there will be engagement with you today still in order to set that up. I trust that you find that in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We are glad to have you here, Mr. Biko. The gentleman to Mr. Mbiko's right, if you can introduce yourself for the record, sir.
Hi, sir. Greetings. Hi, sir. Greetings, Mr. Chair, the Honourable MEC. Officials and MPLs, thank you for the opportunity. Mr. Chair, I refer to 2.1.1 of the Heritage Western Cape report. Unfortunately, the amount of time does not allow us to do justice to all the concerns in the process. In particular, why we, the Kai Korana, are here. Forgive me my lack of manners in my culture. I am Kuba R. Melvin Arendse, leader of the Kai Korana in the former Cape Colony, which is the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape and Western Cape. The Western Cape constitutes the bulk of the Korana heritage estate since before the arrival of the first European settlers. The Western Cape is uniquely part of a lot of heritage dynamics of the Korana people. Our fundamental reality is that three groups in the Western Cape emanate from the same ancestor, which is Gogosowa, which is the Korana, Gorinaikwa, Gorinaikona, and Kokukwa, technically four, all direct descendants. The events since 1552, earlier, in terms of historic persons, historic places, it points to a serious contradiction in terms of forms of Section 25B1 of the National Heritage Resources Act, which in its current form, as application forms, diminishes the entire estate
of the Kurana people that is on the record in the Western Cape archives, as well as in the archives of Rhodes Memorial University, which is being translated from Dutch into English 4 years ago in the Eastern Cape. So our specific request is that the Premier pays urgent attention with the MECs to potential legal problems. The minute the TKLB will be proclamated by the President, the Western Cape and the National Department can prepare themselves for a flood of High Court applications in the Western Cape High Court due to entirely dysfunctional processes that is not capacitated to deal with the biggest heritage estate of the Khoisan Sun Nation, which is the Western Cape. You must remember the Western Cape resembles the first colonial war. It resembles the migration of many nations, including the Afrikaners, the Kurana in particular. In the case of my family alone, it embodies the Nguni specifically, the Abatembus, the Pondos, the Fingus, into a single bloodline. The irony of this is the entire generations of our Kai Kurana house after 1901 emanates from a white woman, Johanna Phillips, which is the second wife of Hendrik Kaffer Kurana, the last polity of the Kuranas in the former Cape Colony. So the extent and magnitude of what will be presented as heritage will not be done under the TKLV. There's a gross miscommunication and understanding about the exact implications from a legal point of view, because the submissions will be done under the Heritage Act, not under the TKLV. The framework of the TKLV is as far divorced from heritage as you can imagine. The actual submissions, why we are here, is saying the submissions will start to Heritage Western Cape under the heritage legislation, not the TKLV. If you have an incoming commission under the TKLB, their exercise to consider applications will be futile if that has not been defined and interpreted under existing heritage legislation. Because the protection is already there, it's just not being, for us it was impractical to do submissions under the Heritage Act to Heritage Western Cape if there was no clarity as to when the TKLB will be proclamated. At least we have some imaginary idea as to when that will happen, which brings us here. So we are saying, for example, the MEC Andrew Murray has done a great job in facilitating the burial of Lang Elsie in George. But there's a lot of similar actions that is just touching the surface in terms of what is coming possibly in 2020 about institutional readiness. We are seriously concerned about the lack of capacity in Heritage Western Cape. Again, referring to specifics in the report.
If I can interrupt you, I would hate to interrupt you. We are dealing with Heritage Western Cape directly after this, but I needed to be specific with regard to the annual report. And then I will make a recommendation that I hope that you will take in good faith. Can you wrap up and then I will make that recommendation?
I will just wrap up. Lastly, just for example, 2.3, consideration of inventories of the national estate. Most of what is part of the national estate is actually mixed estates between technically Afrikaner, Nguni and Kurana. What they are saying is the definition itself is not adequately explained in the application forms, which the good intentions of the province can be undermined by a lack of clarity. We have the archives in the Western Cape that is not being capacitated to become a consultative source of information for families that needs to apply for protection under the Heritage Act. We also appeal to the MEC to look at creating a consultative working group in the Western Cape that links the archives in terms of information support for families who want to apply under heritage legislation or is going to apply for recognition under the TKLB. I think it's an opportunity for the province to really come and reach out to descendant communities and say, how can we potentially alleviate unclarity in relates to processes, information related to Heritage Western Cape. It is going to be the bulk of our submissions will not be to national government, but to Heritage Western Cape. So we would like the Premier to respond to specific. Unfortunately, we are obligated to leave. We have to leave. So we would like our leadership who remain behind, the Abatembu Council, who is part of our national executive of the three provinces, to have information as to how do we specifically deal with our concerns in terms of how is the commissions appointed that deals with the committees. Our application is being considered this Friday. So our lawyers is essentially waiting for their outcome before they can advise us on anything. So what we are saying is This is very critical and crucial, and not because of anything the province has done wrong. It is because what the province and national has collectively omitted in ignorance, unfortunately, because the issue of the definition of heritage estates of Khoi and San was never elaborately defined.
I totally hear you, sir. If what I can do, I understand the urgency, I will allow the minister or the HOD or Dr. Tlamuka to give feedback with regard to the input that we have received, and then we will conclude the annual report for the department. But I will also advise you, if there's any written submissions that you would like to submit to the standing committee, you are more than welcome to do so, sir.
Thank you, voorzitter. Baie dankie vir u vraag. HOD, ek dink Dr. Tlamuka nog.
I suggest that we have a meeting with Mr. Arendse, because issues that he is raising are totally different. The bill and the National Heritage Resources Act may look related because there are heritage in it, but the National Heritage Resources Act deals with something completely different. And I understand that Mr. Arendse submitted an application for their group to be recognized as a conservation body by Heritage Western Cape. That has very little to do with the traditional leadership and question bill. So, but we will arrange to meet with him so that we can clarify and also assist them, because Heritage Western Cape does promote that interested organizations form themselves and be heritage conservation bodies. So we will assist.
Thank you so much for the commitment from the CEO. I trust that you find that in order, sir. In terms of the annual report for the department for the year under review, this matter has now been concluded. I wish to thank the members of the committee for your input. I wish to thank the department, the minister, the HOD for being here, but also for members of the public that came from far in order to give input. We will go directly into the first entity and deal with Heritage Western Cape. We have Dr. Malan as the chairperson and the CEO, Dr. Tlamuka, here. And to the members, you would have received the annual report for Heritage Western Cape. I will now table part A, which is pages 10 to 18. I understand that, as introductory comments, I understand that we wouldn't want to brush the entities or not give sufficient time. There is certain scenarios that could play itself out. One of it is that we could potentially have to come back. We would potentially have to go past 1 o'clock today, but I want to assure the department that we would want to give due attention to the various entities. So members, I trust that you have prepared in terms of Heritage Western Cape.
With your permission, is it possible for the staff not involved with the three public entities to be excluded?
More than welcome. They are more than welcome.
Thank you. Lunch. They will remain for lunch. Come back for lunch. What time is lunch? 12:30. Okay. Thank you, colleagues. Those who are not involved can excuse yourself. Please report back at 12:30.
You are gladly excused. Members, in terms of process, I would like to adhere and with the direction of the CEO and the chairperson or the minister, if there's any opening remarks that you would like to make at this stage.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Ek wil net noem, dit is vandag die laaste vergadering van die, ek wil sê die vorige Heritage Board, en ek wil net sê baie dankie vir Dr. Antonio Malan, our outgoing chair, and then also welcome Mr. Bongani Majima, the incoming chair, and it starts on the 1st of November. I think he's right there in the back.
And then I also want to welcome our language committee chair, Mr. Nyebezi, and I think the culture commission, Ms. Chumafani. Okay, thank you so much. And I want to thank them. They've worked very, very hard this, for this time.
Dr. Lamuka, would you like to make any comment at this stage? Members, if there's any questions pertaining to further information, we can direct that to the to the department in order to furnish us. But after Dr. Lamuka, we will then open up for part A.
We were dealing with Vukedar throughout the festive season.
Marxism and the Heritage Western Cape Special Committee and senior, I mean, ex-co members of council visited the site, the area, just to show how devastating the fires were and also establish how they could put together an assistance program to ensure that the heritage aspect of Woodbedan are not lost. The support has gone to in different ways. One, Heritage Western Cape committed to expedite the permitting process so that any interventions that were being made are not unnecessarily delayed. In addition, Heritage Western Cape also mobilized support through encouraging members of the Cape Institute of Architecture who made themselves available to assist in terms of surveying and providing architectural advices to ensure that the historical fabric of the dialogue is not lost. Moreover, our chairperson has been heavily involved in facilitating dialogue between the church, the Moravian church leadership, as well as NGOs, international NGOs, Fruitful Futures from UK, that have come to the country to Woodbedan and provided assistance. Their assistance is largely to ensure that the historical fabric and the surveys that were documented for Woodbedan are utilized in rebuilding the new structures. Maybe, Chair, you can also add, because I know that it's been your passion.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tlamuka. Yes, indeed, and one of the issues, it's actually whilst the Wuppertal community, it's completely devastating, it's heart-wrenching. It also pertains to the other Moravian missions in the long term, so we have a long-term view of resolving particularly the issues of land tenure. In other words, the mission stations are private property and there are various complications which are being resolved with the church. My particular, all of our interest is to hear what the community wants with their homes. And I don't know if you've been following sort of publicity, but initially it was so traumatic. They just wanted something new. Now that has absolutely been reversed, and their forefathers built those buildings with their hands, and they want to do it again. So it's been an extraordinary experience. Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to take years to fulfill. But, yeah. The heritage, that is our, you know, Heritage Western Cape's job is to help the community maintain their heritage, and that's what we're doing. The other? Right. The inclusive, proactive identification, sustainable management of heritage resources. Do I feel that in the 3 years I've gone anywhere towards fulfilling that? And indeed, I do think I have. Thank you.
Do you have any follow-up?
With regards to the plan of action in rebuilding or trying to restore Woodbedan, how far are we with that list in terms of this period under review? Would it happen there? And then I just want to know, Chair, there is another Moravian mission community on the west coast, Witwatersrand. I'm not sure whether the heritage department knows about them, but also their community or those houses, of those houses, are really dilapidated and falling apart. And I didn't read about Witwatersrand yet, but I just wanted to know for the period under review whether the Heritage Council has perhaps embarked on a visit to that community for the period under review. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The plan of action
for that.
We, you know, for in this case, Heritage Western Cape is a permitting authority. So what we've tried to do here is to mobilize those who have resources to assist, but also give them a bit of a space so that we can provide permitting processes and efficient service to that. So the role that we've been playing in advising even the Department of Human Settlement around the temporary structures, we think that it's very crucial, and it's part of the plan of action, because first thing that we needed to do is to restore, to ensure that people have places to sleep. And Heritage Western Cape provided that proactive permitting process. But secondly, we've mobilized people with resources who have made themselves available and connected them with the church, because here the center is the church, because the church is the owner of the properties. So we've connected the municipality, the church, as well as the provincial government and the private sector in the form of futures, to ensure that they deliberate and come up with a plan. 2 weeks, in fact, 3 weeks ago, the team from Heritage Western Cape went to Bopeta again just to check how people are coping, because we were informed that there are other people who have begun to try to rebuild their structures and see how we can also proactively permit that and ensure that it happens within the prescription of the Heritage Act. So that's basically what we are doing. And that's the plan that we've been doing. And to ensure that we create an enabling environment for the community and the landowners to come into an amicable solution and also permit applications expeditiously.
I see Member Barnes, Member Philander, and Member Keko in that order.
I'm on page 10 on the CEO's CEO's overview, paragraph 1/3 sentence. This has stated that HWC Council and its committees respond swiftly. My question there is, please provide more details on these complexities of heritage applications, and also give details of how many applications were received during the year under the review. My second question is on page 20, under the situational analysis. Paragraph 2, Heritage Western Cape has taken cognizance of the need for greater collaboration with local authorities. My question there, the first one, what functions are delegated to local authorities? The second question, what are the risks associated with this? How is this impacting on the independence of council as municipalities are headed by political parties? My last question is on page 26 on legal matters. Please give more details about this case and what is the dispute about. Second to that, what progress was made in the criminal case that was opened against those who altered and defaced the trust in Swellendam? Why is it not listed under these criminal charges?
Thank you, Member Barnes. Let's get question or input from Member Philander.
Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of service delivery, we talk about the whole of society approach. We enhance collaborative working together, and I'm sure for Heritage Western Cape as well. I'd just like to know, Chairperson, with your permission, if Heritage Western Cape can perhaps explain in a case where a school, for instance, are involved, what would the process be in working together with the education department in ensuring that there are as little as instruction for the learners, and how does that process work exactly to ensure that the building can be up and running as soon as possible and the learners can proceed with education? Just like to know that. Thank you, Chair.
Let me take the last round as well before we close. But hey, who would you like to answer now? Okay, we keep with the strategy. Okay.
So let me respond to the last question. In the an example of a school, I want to provide an example, not an example, an actual case of a hospital. The leadership of the hospital, in fact, Department of Public Works, came to us for an advice because they were planning to revamp the Victoria Hospital. This hospital has a lot of heritage resources. So in the normal circumstances, you will need it to close the hospital. But because of the sensitivity and the need that the hospital has, we made an arrangement, we came into an agreement of how heritage resources are going to be protected at the same time while the hospital is being revamped, yet at the same time the hospital will be functional. So those things do happen. It requires that proactive approach. That's why proactive engagement is so crucial for us. And it's also one of the things that we're preaching to the people in the sector, that they must engage with us as early as possible so that we can see how we can expedite processes and also ensure that there is no disruption of any activity that is being rendered. The Thursday people that were where charges were laid, our function is to lay charges. And unfortunately, whether charges are being taken to court and there is prosecution, it's a function of another sphere of government, in fact, of the sphere of the state. So we did lay charges, but the prosecutor declined to prosecute. And there is nothing much we can do, because the first part is when you are required to provide more evidence, and you do that. But when the prosecutor does not take the matter to court, or decline to prosecute, so there's really nothing you can do. But what we have then done, because we realized that there is a lack of understanding of the Heritage Act by now the prosecutorial authority, we've engaged with a network of practitioners who meet regularly with the team of prosecutors. So we kind of capacitating them with what is it that the Act is trying to do, because it's the same scenario with the environment. So ours and the environment sector are now together trying to meet regularly with the prosecutor so that they understand when we lay charges, these are the potential issues and this is how to deal with them. So this is as far as we can go. The cases that are listed on page 26, the first one is the Midnight Storm matter. This is a case relating to a site in Baboon Point at Elands Bay. It's a section, it's a provincial heritage site. So the owners submitted a plan to develop or to build on a provincial heritage site. This is a cave, a very high significant cave. And they wanted to build almost in the front of the cave. And when Heritage Western Cape refused that application, then they then lodged a litigation arguing that by declaring their property as a provincial heritage site, it was in fact a constructive expropriation of land. So the, currently the case is in the Gauteng High Court, not Gauteng High Court. There has been some developments. There was a trial, and we're waiting for the conclusion of that case. The second case, it involves the Filipi horticultural area. It's still at a pleading stage. It's a case. case where Heritage Western Cape refused application for the consolidation of, was it the consolidation? What was it called?
Rezoning.
Yes, it was the rezoning of plots. So when this was refused, it went to as far as the minister's tribunal. The tribunal also refused, so they went to court. So when matters are in court, we have no control because we depend on what papers are being served to us. We received 2,256 applications. That's quite a lot of applications being handled by almost few staff members, and of that, 2,256, 81% were handled by staff members internally. It means decisions of these applications were made internally. So 81% of these decisions. Now, with regards to local authorities, the Act create a three-tier system where there are functions that can be managed by national government, by provincial government, and also by local sphere of government. Here we're talking about what we normally call grade three sites. These are the sites of high local significance. So we would want these sites to be managed at a local level. Those are the functions that needs to be delegated. The risk here is around capacity, because largely part of what they need to, what local authorities need to do when they are granted with authority or with delegation is to create committees and to have internal system to assess these applications as we do as Heritage Western Cape. But if municipalities have not been able to build this capacity internally, it's almost impossible for this to happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Mike.
Just before you leave, do you have a follow-up? Okay, it's first member Keko and then you.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is on page 10 with the overview of the CEO. And if I read the second sentence correct, in terms of adding to this challenge is the growing interest towards the use of heritage to build social inclusion. And that's a very good, profound statement. And now my thing is, how do you build social inclusion on top of a foundation of colonial symbols that are filling our country and our province? We've got the statues of Louis Botha, Jan van Riebeeck, and many others who, in terms of our own history, have had a negative impact in the indigenous people of the Western Cape and South Africa at large. So now, your social inclusion that you are busy with, how does it impact in ensuring that? Because we talk about the likes of Kratoa and many other people like such as the Kurana that were here, who are complaining about their own heritage that is nowhere to be found, with our South Africa that is filled with the colonial symbols. And then, on page 14, when we talk about, I think I need to follow up just on issue that was raised by a member board. When we talk about houses, in terms of the recent act, that houses that are beyond the age of 60 that are declared as such. Now, our thing is that how is the department empowering those that are affected by this so that they will be able to understand? You must check this is done through application. And then the application comes with fees and everything else. So how do we ensure that our people are empowered so that they are not worse off with processes and then understand everything? And then my last question then,
is on page 18, your organizational structure. I know most departmental don't like this one, but you can never be immune to such kind of questions. I note there that your organizational structure doesn't even have pictures. I don't know whether you were trying to trick us or what is happening. There's no picture there, so that we can be able to see who's who in the school. So now what is happening is that I note there that the organizational structure is not, in my own view, I'm not sure, maybe I'm wrong through the reading of surnames and the people that are there, but you will correct me, the proper representation of the demographics of the province. Please, can you clarify that for me?
I got it.
let me start with the organizational structure. If you look at the page itself, the way we've designed it, it would almost be impossible to have the pictures here. So perhaps you can look at how we project it in the future. But also, this organizational structure is different to that of departments, because it has, you know, the element of staff, and also the elements of the chairpersons of the committees of council. So now, with regards to the staff part, Heritage Western Cape is not the employer. So that is already covered by the department, because staff of Heritage Western Cape are seconded to the entity. So with regards to also the council aspect, it may not be truly reflective, but it reflects who is on council. But also who is on council reflects who was nominated, because it's a public process. So I can tell you that, okay, maybe the outgoing council was not as representative as we wanted to be, but the council that is coming in tomorrow, it's much better. But that is because of the nature of the nominations that were received and the nature of the shortlist that was submitted by this committee. Thank you. Let me deal with the issue of the social, how to build social inclusion on top of the current scenario. That's not an easy one. But for one to understand the dynamics of South Africa, we have to understand the fact that this country was born out of a negotiated settlement. And it's not something that is unique to the Western Cape. And it's part of the reason why you still, a decision was taken not to destroy monuments. That's why you still have the Fort Trekker Monument. And in fact, the Fort Trekker Monument was protected as a national heritage site. But it's those political decisions that were made when this country was being born, the new country, the democratic state was being born. So, but now the question is, you may have monuments, but the crucial issue is how they are being reinterpreted and what else is being added. So if one was to look at the nature of protections for national heritage sites that have been declared in the past year or past 2 years, we're talking about Hostel 33 in Lwandle, in the township. This is a site of migrant labor system. We're talking about the Imam Harun gravesite. We're talking about the mosque where the Imam Harun was an imam. We're talking about the one of the oldest mosques in the southern hemisphere in Boga. We're talking about the Rockers Civic Center, a site where the United Democratic Front was born. So that's how you transform the sector, and also the importance and the diversity of South African heritage makes who South Africans are. how we assist communities. We, yes, municipalities have a role there to play, but when ordinary people apply for a permit and they are unable to pay the fee, so we have a system of assisting them, of allowing them not to pay the fee, in fact of assisting them to comply with the act.
Thank you so much, members. Before Member Van Vogel poses on part A, thereafter I will table directly part B as well as D. I trust you find that in order. Member Van Vogel.
Thank you, Chairman. This was from the People's Overview, page 11. Formal protection.
Member Van Vogel, into the mic, please.
Formal protection of heritage resources, second sentence. Page 11. Yes. In 2018, Heritage Western Cape Council provisionally protected the River Club in Observatory in a portion of Philippi horticultural area. So my question therefore of is why is River Club only provisionally protected? What is the update on this? Is it still protected? Then the second one on the same question, does this provisional protection then mean it is safe from the proposed development in the area, and what are the plans to declare it a heritage site? Also, why only a portion of the PHA is only provisionally protected? Why not given full heritage rights to the entire PHA? Thank you, Chair.
Let me start with the PHA, the Philippine Horticultural area. In 2016, Heritage Western Cape was convinced that it wanted to protect the entire Philippine horticultural area. But in terms of Section 27, if you want to execute the protection, you have to write to all to the landowner, but not only to write, to send them letters through a registered letter, registered mail. At that time I was arriving, I remember about 1,500 letters were written to all the to all the owners of the area. More than half of them were returned because they were not collected from the post box. Based on the addresses that we received from the city of Cape Town. And if you have not ensured that they received the letter, you cannot protect. So now, we then faced with that scenario, there's no way you can protect it. But the best is to wait for an application. When an application comes, then we got you, then we protect. So that incremental protection is the only legally viable solution. That is why a portion of it was provisionally protected. Now, the River Club protection. Why did we use Section 29 for a provisional protection? But perhaps let me also explain why provisional protection is being used. You use provisional protection to when you believe that a site is under threat of development. You then put a Section 29 process to start a process of negotiating, researching, and also create a platform to communicate. You research whether, within the 2 years of provisional protection, it's also a time for you to research whether, a full protection is required. So in this case, it has allowed us to communicate with the developers, with the stakeholders, and currently there is a process going forward because that decision was appealed. So the appeal is still being held. The appeals committee has not fully concluded the matter, and it's set down for somewhere in November. So that's where we are. But the site is protected.
And as I explained earlier on, there are two layers of protection. Even if the site is not a provincial heritage site or a national heritage site, by the virtue of heritage resources that are there, it enjoys what we refer to as general protection. So the site is protected.
Thank you, members. With your indulgence, we will now table part B as well as part D. If you have any questions in that regard, do I have?
Actually, Chair, I'm noting that I've already, my first questions were to part B and if I'm allowed to just have a brief follow-up, because
okay.
I heard from a question raised by Member Kego earlier on the committees that were appointed by us. On a lighter note, one would like to know how far are we with the appointments that we made, because Member Kego mentioned here that
it was made a couple of days ago.
The organogram. Oh. I remember Member Kego asked about the organogram, and it was brought back to us that the committee have made appointments, we had recommendations. So what's here on the organogram, we must own up for it. So to help Member Kego and myself, can I get to know what I have appointed?
That was the previous committee, but I'm sure that the Minister and the HOD will indulge the question. But that was a previous committee.
Okay.
But you can ask.
Yeah, we can respond to that. Minister has drafted a letter addressing to the speakers, which would be ACCIT, and also to you, to update you about the process and also the members that she has appointed.
We eagerly await the letter. Once we get it, we will be...
See, now I've also heard you, Chair, because you were eagerly waiting as well.
I'm glad that we can work together. And any questions, or are we closing this? As I stated before, we have parliamentary privileges. In closing this, and especially to the chairperson, the outgoing chairperson, thank you for your contribution, and the CEO for what you do in Heritage Western Cape, and all the officials and staff. May you send our thanks to them as well. As a committee, we will now formally move to the next entity. But thank you once again, and if there's anyone that needs to be excused at this time, actually, they are more than welcome to also be excused. But thank you so much. That concludes Heritage Western Cape, the annual report. We now move over to the Western Cape Cultural Commission. Any opening remarks that the chairperson would like to make at this stage? Or anyone that's directly involved here?
Good morning or good afternoon, it's now afternoon. I think it's important for me just to say that a report that is tabled here was during a period when the current chairperson is in our midst, was not the chairperson.
Okay.
However, if we look at the chairperson's forward, the chairperson has found it fit to contextualize the work that has been done in the previous term and then put the forward together.
Mm. Also, thank you for being here. Members, I will table part A. Any questions on part A? It should be fine if there's no questions even. I just say, but you can ask. Yes, I don't remember much.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on page 9 on the spending trends. My question there is, what are the reasons for the over expenditure? Can I go to page 18 as well?
Yes.
Then my second question would be on page 18, the situational analysis, third paragraph, the department has nurtured a close working relationship with GTPW. Did Commission contribute any funds towards these upgrades? That's it, short check.
Thank you, Chair. So the reason for the over expenditure is related to what we call GRAT 23. So GRAT 23 is a standard that we had to apply, which requires us to identify services in kind. In our case, the only the expenditure related to that is the CFO support unit. So basically what we do, we calculate what the salaries are, and we then disclose it as such. So we have to show, so you will see when we get to the revenue part that it has under collection and over expenditure because of the transaction that we had to effect, of which the net effect is in fact zero between revenue and expenditure. So it is a more technical sort of adjustment, but not because of the fact that they did not manage the expenditure.
Members, I want to state again for the record, we do give due consideration for the entities, and we will be working closely with the entities and the department over the next 4.5 years still. But let me table part B and D simultaneously as well. Do you have any questions with regard to...
My first question, my second question, situational analysis, it was already part of...
Okay. Yes. Can you just repeat it again?
I said on page 18.
Page 18.
Under the situation analysis number 2, third paragraph, the department has nurtured a close working relationship with DTPW, which has yielded positive outcomes. Did Commission contribute any funds towards these upgrades?
In terms of the question on page 18, no, because it's all structural upgrades and improvements that was done by the Department of Public Works and Transport.
I know you, Member Van Voorhoofd.
Thank you, Chair. Mine's on the floor, Chairperson. Page 7, the last paragraph. The budget of Commission is limited, however, the ongoing interaction with DTPW has resulted in upgrades of facilities. So now my question, please, can you please elaborate on this? Is the Department of Transport and Public Works doing these upgrades on its own budget? And how many facilities were upgraded? And can you provide details of these cultural facilities, where are they situated? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, for the question. The Commission did not contribute financially to these upgrades. The upgrades will all be were done by the Department of Public Works, but I will ask Ms. Jane Malika to just highlight where these culture facilities are located, and
it was for 5 cultural facilities. The 2 of the cultural facilities, Malkos Cultural Center and Malkos Odisea, are both located within Malkos. For Malkos Cultural Center, the cost of the upgrades was 5 million, and SIA cultural facility was also the same amount. And for Groot Drakenstein, Groot Drakenstein is located in Franschhoek, and that amount was 450,000, just to round it off. Okiuste cultural facility, that is now the fourth cultural facility, that is located in Lonkershoek in Stellenbosch, and the amount was 451,000. Window Bay Manor House is also in Franschhoek, and it's a day facility. These others that I mentioned are all overnight facilities, and that amount was 11,000 to round it off.
Thank you, members. I know it is a stretch by tabling all the parts. In your prep work, if there's any burning question or anything that you feel that we can't get via a parliamentary question or via a resolution, I would suggest that you ask it now or we can close. I have consensus. Thank you so much. We officially close the Western Cape Cultural Commission annual report for the year under review. It appears to be that with less people here, it's different. But thank you so much for everyone that is still here. Members, you would have received the annual report for the Western Cape Language Committee as well. Specifically to the Language Committee, if the HOD or the Minister would like to make any remark. Would the chairperson like to make any remark at this stage? At the end? Okay. Thank you. Members, we table part A, pages 2 to 9. Questions on part A. I will go to part B. Member Witbos.
Only one question on the content authority overview. Page 5, paragraph 4, the traditional and Khoisan Lisa Bill. Is the committee and department in full support of this bill? If not, what are the reservations?
Two questions. One, on the foreword of the chairperson,
What work has the entity done to advocate for sign language to be included on the WCPP's YouTube channel? My second question, on page 5, accounting authority overview, paragraph 2, last line, actively promote principles of multilingualism and promote, preserve, and develop previously marginalized indigenous languages. In terms of promoting and preserving the languages of the Khoi and San people, did the department only print the booklet as explained on page 11, or did it provide other support? Very easy.
In terms of the Khoi and the San, there were engagements with persons from the Khoi and San communities that that the committee met with and attempted to address some of the concerns. But those requests only comes sort of at certain interfaces. But our main focus in terms of the promotion of previously diminished language, as it states in the policy, is according to the APP. In terms of the sign language and the committee's role first, the committee is a public entity and purpose, PFMA is a public entity. So the committee's main function or mandate is to provide advice to our minister. So the committee doesn't engage in driving operational matters pertaining to language. So for the provision of sign language from the committee side to provincial legislature or provincial parliament, no, the committee wouldn't, that would not be the committee's mandate.
Members, ngingathanda ukwengeza. Ngiyabulela sihlalo. Kulena nto ye-sign language uyibuzayo, lunga libekekileyo, ndingathanda ukucacisa ukuba njengoba nje olwimi lusanda ukunikezwa esi sidima salo ukuthi libe lulwimi olusemthethweni laseMzantsi Afrika, sikwazile ukusebenzisana nabo sesibafumene abantu abakwazi ukusebenzisa eli lwimi. Njengoko usazi ukuthi kulwimi ngalunye kukhona itoliki, kukhona abantu ababhalayo, kukhona nabanye abantu abasebenzisa ngokwenkcubeko njalo njalo ekuhlaleni. So eyona nto sisazama ukuyifumana luluhlu lokudibanisa le nto kuthiwa i-database, ukuze siyazi ukuthi xa kufuneka itoliki ezingakwazi ukutolika ngolwimi olu zifumane kaphi na. Siyazi ukuthi nanjengokuba sisebenzisana nezinye iilwimi ziye zifune inkxaso malunga nezinto ezithile, so sifuna ukusebenzisa elo qonga ukuzama ukuphuhlisa ulwimi olu lwe-sign language. Nokutsho ke ukuthi ikhona into esithethileyo nayo isebe eli njenge-Better Life magazine ukuthi ulwimi lwe-sign language malube khona nalo phaa, njengokuba sitshilo futhi ukuthi sicebisa ukuba kulaa Better Life magazine zonke iilwimi mazisetyenziswe ngolu hlobo kubona kubhalwe ngalo kwingxelo leyo nyaka esiyibeka phambi. Ndingaqhubeka futhi ndithi kulwezi lwimi ke kuthiwa zezemveli, siyazi ukuthi lo nyaka nguwo othe wabe ubekelwe ecaleni ukuthi sikwazi ukuziphuhlisa, sisebenzisene ne-UNESCO kumcimbi owawukhona apha kwa kufika isinyuba mkhala se UNESCO kuzo uphuculwa kuthethwa kanye ngalena nto yelwimi zemveli. Nto leyo ke ngoku ethe yasibonisa ukuthi sisenokwazi nakhona ukuzama ukufuna ukusebenzisana nabantu abalusebenzisa ulwimi. Sekuthethiwe malunga nabantu baseUniversity of Cape Town apho kufundiswa khona elwimi lekhoyo nesinama. Sizithemba ukuthi xa kuthweswa izidanga benikezwa amaphepha ukuthi bagqibile ufunda sawuthi sibone naphayana kula mcimbi ukuthi ngobani nabanye abakhoyo zeziphi na ezinye iimfuno abajongene nazo abantu abasebenzisa ulwimi olunjalo. Bekukhona nomsitho bukhona eUniversity of Western Cape ujongana nemo yesiSwahili. Ngobani sesisazi ukuthi kukhona izikolo apho kusetyenziswa khona olwalwimi. Sithe nalapho sakwazi ukufumana ukuthi ngobani abanomdla ukuthi abathi nxaxheba phaa esithembayo ukuthi kulo nyaka uzayo iinkqubo zethu zizawukwazi ukuthi zibabandakanye nditsho nabantu abasebenzisa iSwahili. Ndibulela.
Thank you so much. Members, any other question on for A, B, or D before we wrap up? There will be engagements throughout the year, throughout the following years, for the remaining of this term. Is it in order that we then finalize and conclude consensus? Okay. I can see you clearly now, member, with your glasses. But thank you so much to the members, to the department. The chairperson indicated you would like to. Okay, over to you, sir.
Manibulele sihlalo nditsho ukuthi njengoba ndisenibonile phaa ukuthi ikomiti yethu uhlobo esebenza ngalo ndithande ukuba nenguqu ngokuba kukhona la mandla ekuthiwa masiwathathe njengekomiti malunga nokuphathwa kwezimali njengoko umhlalutyi wezincwadi etshilo ukuthi kufanele ukuthi ibe ngamalungu ekomiti uqobo lwawo athi akwazi ukuthabatha uxanduva lokuphicotha izimali. So ndizama ukuthi ke iseyinto entsha le apha kwikomiti esiqondayo ukuthi sawusebenzisana nesebe ekuzameni ukuqinisekisa ukuba umsebenzi wethu siwenza ngohlobo olululo. Loo nto leyo ithe yavela nemiphumela ibonisa ukuba kuzawufuneka kuqwalaselwe umthetho lo oseka ikomiti le sithetha ngayo ngoba siyazi ukuthi imoya lapha eMtshona Koloni malunga nento yoba kukhona umgaqo-siseko okhokhela uhlobo lokwenziwa kwezinto kwaze kwaba khona nalo mthetho owathi wakhokhelela uba kube khona le komiti esivileyo ke ngoku uba kuzawufuneka ipalamente le iwujongisise ngezigaba ezibini. Sithi ke thina siyikomiti singathanda ukuba sibe yinxalenye yaloo nkqubo leyo yokujongisa usalamthetho ngoba kaloku kukhona izinto ezisichaphazelayo malunga nento yokuba khona kwePan South African Language Board ethe yaba khona neyalapha kweli phondo, nto leyo esinikeza inkxalabo ukuthi mhlawumbi kungaba khona ukuba ne-confusion kwi-communities ukuthi ingaba yeyiphi eyona komiti izawuthi imanyelwe. Okanye mhlawumbi xa sukuba kusenza uhlahlolwabiwo wezimali thina siyile komiti yalapha eNtshona Koloni sizawufumana imali engakanani yokwenza umsebenzi engakanani. Ndizama ukucacisa ke ukuba zizinto ezo amalungu ekomiti athe angathanda ukuthi ikomiti le izazi ukuze kuthi xa kujongene nale nkqubo yokuthi kujonge kangokutsha lo mthetho usisekayo sikwazi ukuthi sisebenzisane ukuze kukwazi ukuphenduleka nale mibuzo sinayo malunga nohlobo ekufuneka sisebenze ngalo kule minyaka ilandelayo. Ndiyabulela.
Thank you so much for your input. It has been noted.
I'm sorry to disturb your conclusion. But after what he has said, there is a clarity that I need for the closing of this question. Then to move on to the next question, I also should do it. Siyazi ukuthi kwelo phondo ivamile into yoba
lenze into yaphuma ecaleni ngokulokwalo ilibhondi be lenze ufuna ukwazi ukuthi ungabe yamanjani.
Kuphela kwephondo leMtshona Koloni elinekomiti ekumila kunje Western Cape Language Committee. Kumanye amaphondo iikomiti ezikhoyo azisekwanga ngokomthetho, abanawo umthetho ofana nalo walapha oseka iikomiti ezikumila kunjalo. Ihlobo elisetyenziswana ngalo ngokuphuhlisa izilwimi yi-Pan South African Language Board. So ke ngoku xa kuba kukhona le komiti yakhiwe ngulo mthetho walapha eNtshona Koloni, kuphinde apha kweliphondo kube khona i-Pan South African Language Committee, ithetha uba ke ngoku zimbini ezi komiti ezi kufunaka zisebenzisene. Andingetsho uba ndiphuma ecaleni leyo kuba eli phondo lilivulandlela malunga nento yokuba iilwimi maziphuhliswe kanjani. Umthetho lo usakhayo thina siyile komiti wafika ungekabikho ingekabikho yeminye imithetho le pencilab umzekelo ngohlobo esekumila ngawo. So ngamanye amazwi ekubonakala uba kuza kuthi ngoku xa kufuneka kujongwe ii-amendments zalo mthetho we-Western Cape Language Act, sibonisise ke ngokuba usasinceda na ukuba nawo ngolahlobululo nale komiti, siyenze loo nto sisazi ukuba kukhona i-pencilab enekomiti apha kweli phondo nayo enamandla mhlawumbi angaphezulu kwale nethu komiti.
Thank you so much. Before we conclude, is there any closing remarks from the HOD or the minister?
Thank you, Voorzitter. I just want to thank everyone for this morning, for the way that we've conducted with each other, and I wish you well. I think we only see you No, we don't see you this afternoon. Let's go by some of you. Few of you we'll see. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, some of us will be dealing with Scopa later on. I trust that I will see at the back as well.
Maybe I can just so one of the things I think I mentioned to the minister that we, the new committee and this term, that we encourage you to attend the things we invite you to, so that you can actually see the work. And so then the work can come alive in your mind when we say what it is between. But other than that, thank you very much for the occasion. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We've heard a lot today, and once again, on behalf of the committee, thank you for being here to the minister, to the HOD, all the officials, the relevant chairpersons. It is highly appreciated. I trust that you will go well. Some of us will see you later again, but there is lunch down the corridor where coffee was served. Just
Friday, that's okay. I'll just spam beat the word.
exactly on the same page. We spoke about it earlier on. So we'll take that. It should go to programming or somewhere, but we will take that up. But once again, thank you. It was a long journey. But thank you so much. Thank you, Wasim.
I'll refer the request to the television Metro official.
Oh, yes.
Yes.